Welcome to the Next Level Soul Podcast, where we ask the big questions about life. Why are we here? Is this all there is? What is my soul's mission? We attempt to answer those questions and more by bringing you raw and inspiring conversations with some of the most fascinating and thought-provoking guests on the planet today. I am your host, Alex Ferrari. I'm always looking to help the Next Level Soul audience take their soul to the next level. And I've been able to partner with Mind Valley to present you guys with a ton of free masterclasses between 60 and 90 minutes covering mind, body, soul, relationships, and conscious entrepreneurship. Some of these masterclasses are taught by spiritual masters, relationship experts, best-selling authors, legends in the personal growth and spirituality space, and so much more. So if you want to sign up for any of our free mind, body, and soul masterclasses, just head over to nextlevelsoul.com/free. Now, there's so many of us that have these negative ideas in our heads about us, the stories that we tell ourselves, these damaging, limiting beliefs that stop us from moving forward in life. And today's guest is here to help you through that. We have on the show Shelley Lefko. She has personally worked with thousands of individuals around the world using the Lefko method, and she has helped these people eliminate issues as serious as eating disorders, phobias, depression, as well as everyday problems like procrastination, shyness, fear of public speaking, and much, much more. I really had a fantastic conversation with Shelley, and we even worked a little bit on some of the stuff that I'm holding on to. So let's dive in. I'd like to welcome to the show Shelley Lefko. How are you doing, Shelley?
Hi, Alex. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You are, many say, an expert in limiting beliefs and things that we do to ourselves. And we are, as I've always said, our worst enemy. Just completely we destroy ourselves with our thoughts sometimes. And it's a very powerful tool that we can use both for good and for evil in many ways. So we're going to get into that. But first, how did you begin your journey doing this kind of work?
So I was always involved in personal growth, and not always, but for a long time. And my husband, my late husband, was on what he called an intellectual spiritual journey on why people knew what to do and didn't do it. So we know going into relationships, oh God, this is not a good relationship, and we stay in, right? We know seatbelts save lives, don't wear seatbelts. We know that eating well and exercise will make us live longer and feel better, and we don't do it. So he was really looking at his own life, and in his own life, things should have turned out and they kept not turning out. So he was on a plane going to California, and we were pitching. It was interesting because we were pitching the state of California was trying to get, people off welfare, and they were trying to find motivational people to motivate these people. So Morty was going to go and do a pitch. And on the plane, he started writing. And, you know, kind of like Neil Donald Walsh, out of his hand came this process. And he realized that, I mean, he was a genius and he did create the process, but because he's humble, he always says he downloaded it. But it was based on the premise that our behavior and our emotions are caused by our beliefs. Now, Alex, I want to tell you, this was almost 35 years ago. So I used to say to people, you know, I help people eliminate beliefs, and they would say, well, what do you mean, like religious beliefs?
Right.
People didn't even know what a belief was back then. And I'm going to tell you my definition in a minute. So he creates this process. He gets off the plane. He does it with these people. He does the process. He has them eliminate a belief. They hire him on the spot. And we did this amazing thing in California, and he came home and he said, I want to show it to you, even though at the time we were doing it in corporations more than one-on-one. He did it with a friend of ours who kept saying, I want a relationship. I want to get married again. I want to get married again. And he said to her, well, what do you believe? And he asked her a couple of questions and she started saying, well, marriage is suffocating and men are selfish. And, you know, and these beliefs just were. And so he did the process on her and I watched. And it was one of the most profound moments of my life because I felt like I was going to be knocked off the chair. I had a sense that that was why I was on the planet, to do that. It was like, this was my calling. This was it. And I've been doing it for 30 years with people in every country and every walk of life imaginable.
So what is your definition of a belief?
Great. So a belief is a statement about reality that you believe is, that you think is the truth. So if something, you said at the very beginning, we're going to talk about limiting beliefs. The truth is, even though some of our beliefs have us have amazing outcomes and wonderful things and miracles, beliefs by their very definition are limiting. Because if something is true, something is not true. So it limits you no matter what it is. And it may limit you in a powerful way, but a belief is limiting. So we just call them beliefs.
So can you walk life without beliefs? Can you, like, you have to believe that, like, I believe that I'm intelligent. I believe that I can find love. I believe that I am good at my job. I believe that I can lose weight easily and gain muscle fast. I know these people. I can't, but I know these people who are like, oh, I'll just lose 30 pounds in the next, because they actually believe it because they know how to do it because they are professionals at it and trainers and stuff like that. So there are those kind of beliefs. And there's also the other beliefs are like, all men are horrible. All women are idiots. Like all these kind of horrible beliefs that in many times are subconscious beliefs.
Almost always.
Almost always, right? It's not like you're walking around going, men are horrible. Men are horrible. No, it's kind of like, I saw my dad do something to my mom when I was younger and he cheated on my mom. And that's why all men are horrible. Is that a good line?
Perfect. So yes. So some of our beliefs serve us. Now we do something at the end of our process that gets people into a little altered state of consciousness where you realize that you create your beliefs. Your beliefs create your life. So if you create the beliefs that create your life, what does that make you? And if you do it, and I have things that I do with you, you go into this space where you have an experience. I'm not my beliefs. I'm the creator of my beliefs. I am pure consciousness. I am limitless possibility. So can you live without beliefs? I don't know, but you wouldn't want to, because if you have beliefs that are working for you, absolutely keep them. So when people come to me, they don't come to me and say, I want to eliminate beliefs. Nobody cares about eliminating beliefs. They care about eliminating patterns. So what a pattern is a pattern is observable. So I can see you procrastinate. I can see you be in relationships where you're not treated well. I could see you trying to lose weight and not. I could see you depressed. I could see you not express yourself. I could watch you in meetings, never speaking up. I could watch you have a fear of public speaking. You're very nervous up there. So patterns are observable. Beliefs are not. Beliefs underlie the patterns. They cause the patterns. So what I look at is, what do you want to change in your life? What do you want to be different? And those are only going to produce beliefs that don't serve you. And so when you get all the beliefs underlying the pattern disappears and never comes back.
How are beliefs formed?
Great question. You actually said it. So I'll highlight what you said.
Okay.
Very, very, very succinctly. So you come into this world, we come into this world, and we don't know if we're good enough or not good enough, important or not important, capable or not capable. We don't know if money is scarce and hard to get or it's abundant. We don't know if we could have anything we want, or if we deserve it or we don't. So we come in as a kind of like almost blank slate, and we look at our little environment, mom and dad, or mom and mom, or dad and dad, or whatever your family looks like. Now, there's three things that, you know, the first time I had a client in Uganda, I remember asking her, what does your child do when you come home at night? And virtually every client in every country around the world says the same thing. Do you have kids?
Of course. I got twins.
How old?
10.
10. Okay. So if you remember when they were three and you walked in, what did they do when they see you?
They ran up to me and they're like,
they run up to me. And those are the exact words that pretty much everybody says. And they want three things, right? What do they want when they haven't seen you all day?
Attention.
Validation. First thing they want.
Validation.
And.
Love. Love. Yeah.
So you nailed it. So I alliterated because it sounds better. Affection, attention, and acknowledgement. Now, what's the one word question every child asks all day long?
Why?
Now, the reason I did that the way I did it is, first of all, I hate lecturing. It's, you know, I like interacting, but I want everybody to get that I'm not making this stuff up.
Right.
It came from him. It didn't come from me. So every child alive wants affection, attention, acknowledgement, and every child alive asks the question, why? Why can't I live up to my parents' expectations? Why are they criticizing me? Well, I guess I'm not good enough. Why are they looking at their iPhone when they're talking to me? Well, I guess I'm not important. I pause on that because that's my soapbox with parents, especially young parents. Parents of my generation went behind the newspaper.
Right.
So why am I not getting kisses and hugs and affection? I guess I'm not lovable. Why are mommy and daddy complaining about money all the time and worried about money? I guess money is scarce and hard to get. Now, here's the thing that's going to be a little tricky to understand. When you do the process, it becomes very, very real. But it seems like you could see your beliefs in the world. And that's why they stay with us, no matter what evidence people have to the contrary. I've worked with 5 Harvard PhDs who all had the belief I'm stupid. Now they knew they weren't stupid, but they still believed it, and it still ran their lives. So if you go back to childhood and I say to you, doesn't it seem like you saw I'm not good enough? Well, yeah, every day of my life. Really? So anything you could see has a color, shape, and location. You can't see I'm not good enough. And it's like Santa Claus. You can believe in Santa Claus for 8 years. And the moment you get, wait a minute, that's my dad. Boom. The belief is gone. I never saw that there was a Santa Claus. I made that up. I made up the Tooth Fairy. I made up the Easter Bunny. Boom. And the belief never comes back. And that's why our process works so well. Because when people get that, I work with incest survivors, my favorite population, sexual abuse, because in 1-2 sessions, we change their lives. So that's how beliefs get formed.
So is it most of the time, I mean, I've done a little research in this space. I've done a lot of reading and educating myself on neuroscience and how our brains are wired. And from my understanding, it's those first 6 years. Those first 6 years are so, I forgot who it was. It was a religious group that said, give me the child for the first 6 years and I'll tell, give me the boy for the first 6 years and I'll tell you the man that he'll be. Something along those lines. It was a religious sect. I forgot what, the Mormon or someone, I forgot what it was, but I found that that's the case, that in those first 6 years, and I was very conscious of when we were raising our daughters, and my wife is a social worker and she delves into this work as well, to be careful about what we did. And we're not perfect. No one is. But I feel that also, and this is going past the question for a second, when you do something that's wrong, let's say, like you're on front of the phone or you snap because you're in a bad mood or something, if you go back and explain to them, it's not you. Daddy's having a bad day. Mommy's having a bad day. It has nothing to do with you and blah, blah, blah. That helps, because if you say nothing, then their mind will start kicking and they'll go, well, I guess that's me. So always. That's two questions. So two parts of question. So yeah. Is it the first 6 years of childhood that really, really hardwires stuff in? But throughout childhood, most of our beliefs are based on the experience of our childhood, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So we say 6 to 8 for self-esteem beliefs for sure. Mm-hmm. Even money, life is hard, you know, all that comes from your environment early on. Some beliefs, if there's an extreme, like if you are abused in some way or something terrible happens, you know, your father loses everything and goes bankrupt when you're 12 years old, you know, stuff like that. But mostly, yes, it comes from early in childhood. And yes, cleaning up, you know, I take umbrage always to the words good, bad. In fact, I did a parenting course last night for this school on Zoom, and it's my favorite thing in the world to do. I have an 8-module parenting course that I created because when I started doing this work, I realized, oh my God, if we could transform the way we parent, we could change the world. You know, people could literally stop suffering. And you don't have to be a perfect parent. You just have to be a conscious one. And you also need to get trained, because I taught, these were very conscious. This was an alternative school and very conscious parents. And they were blown away by the skills and tools that some of which I taught them. Mostly I said, what you said is that when your child walks away from you, ask yourself the question, what did they just likely conclude out of that interaction? And is that a belief I want them to have for the rest of their life? And if not, like you said, just clean it up. And a way to say it is, what you need and want is very important. And I can't give it to you right now. I'm on the phone. But when I hang up or at lunch or tonight or whenever it is, you'll have my undivided attention. But the words good, bad, right, wrong are always judgment. And they don't tell you anything. You didn't do anything wrong. You just did something that might have a consequence. And, you know, when you're talking to the kids, it's the same thing. It's not like it's bad or good. It just, hitting doesn't work. It hurts. So it's not okay to hit people. Or, you know, if you don't do your homework, you know, you might fall behind, you know. So it's not bad. You didn't do anything wrong. You know, I worked with, we did a criminal study. That was one of the most fascinating experiences, because people would say, oh, you shot people. Now, he didn't kill anybody, but he shot people. Well, you're a wife beater, you know? And when we worked with these guys, you know, they had beliefs. If you do something wrong, you deserve to be punished. And the way to be punished is to beat.
Or to act out or to do.
To beat somebody. Because when he was a kid, if he did something,
sure,
he got beaten. So
violence.
So when his wife did something or his girlfriend did something, it didn't occur to him to not beat her. I mean, that's what you do. That's why I'm so vehemently and violently and crazy against, vehemently against violence, because it perpetuates violence.
Generationally.
Generationally. So the other guy had the belief that his father told him, if somebody gets in your face and razzes you with a gun and you don't shoot them, you're going to lose respect in the hood. So he said, Shelly, I shot somebody over a $5 bill. He said, you know, it was like ridiculous. Wow. It never occurred to me to not. So there's no bad and good. There are people who have beliefs, and, you know, there's a new book out and I love what they say. It's don't ask what's wrong with that person. Ask what happened to that person.
That's absolutely true. Cause I mean, I've started to look at people now too, when you start seeing people act up in public, cause there's a lot more of that going on. The Karens of the world and the Kens of the world that are literally throwing a fit in public.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
You look at them and you're like, well, that's obviously they had something in their past, like they were pampered as a child. They, when they threw fits before, they were given what they wanted. And that, but now it's gotten to this point where like it's insane. I mean, over a cup of soup or a parking spot or something so irrelevant. But you feel sorry for them. Like, why are they in so much pain? When I run into people or I see people who are bitter, angry, mean to other people, I actually feel empathy for them. I'm like, what happened to you that you need, you feel the need to do that to another human being? It's really, it's interesting to look at. I mean, it's truly interesting to the human being is a very fascinating, the human mind is extremely fascinating.
I said that to my friend last night. I said, human beings are endlessly fascinating.
Without question. Now, all these patterns that we have, and we all have them in one shape, form, and some we've been able to root out, and other ones are really deep-seated that you have to do inner work to get them out. How do you break these limiting beliefs, these beliefs that are hurting you in your life?
Well, the only way I could I could do that is to demonstrate it, where I would take you through the process. We have enough time.
Sure.
I did it on Sharkpreneur, and the guy was, it was so cool.
Absolutely. So I'm open. I am an open book. So let's go down.
That's why I said it, because normally I don't. So I'll demonstrate it. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do, to your listeners, is you can watch and it will be interesting. Mm-hmm. You can also get a pen and paper and you can go through it with me and with Alex. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm not going to start with a pattern unless I have to. I'll start with a belief. So I'm going to see if I can do this, because it's the one I like to do. So even though people have done a lot of work on themselves and whatever, the most common belief that almost every single person that I've worked with, and I work with CEOs, I work with famous people, I hate saying that, but I work with a lot of people who you wouldn't think had the belief, I'm not good enough, and do. Oh,
I've been in the film business. I've worked with actors and everybody in the film business. Trust me, I understand that. I understand that every single one of them has imposter syndrome. Every single one of them has it.
Yeah. So I want everybody to take a deep breath with me, and then I'll see if Alex wants to pick this one or a different one.
Okay.
And we'll go with, and I'm going to ask the people listening to go with this one, and we'll see what Alex does. Okay. Say, I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough.
Now say, I'm a monkey.
I'm a monkey.
So when you say I'm a monkey, how does it feel?
The exact same thing that it felt for me, that I'm not good enough.
Okay. So for most people, I'm not good enough didn't feel good. It didn't feel good to say.
It doesn't. So. It's not that it doesn't feel good. It's that I've kind of gotten past that for me personally.
Right.
So I understand that I'm good enough. And that took me a long time to get to.
Right. So I want to make another distinction. Understanding something. Now I get, if it has no resonance, it probably is not true. I'm going to ask you one more question.
Sure.
But the fact that you understand something doesn't get rid of our beliefs. In other words, somebody says to me, I'm important. And I said, I don't believe I'm not important. I said, really, if you lost your job tomorrow and you weren't CEO anymore and you had to be a mail carrier, would you feel just as important? He said, no. I said, if you believe your importance isn't a function of anything. It's not outside you. Mm-hmm. So is there anything that makes you good enough?
Is there anything that makes me good enough? In what scope?
What makes you good enough?
I try to be good enough in every aspect of my life.
That's that. Yeah. So again, and for everybody doing this.
Yeah.
What makes you good enough? So people usually say, okay. Well, I'm kind.
Right. I'm empathetic. Right. I try to help. I try to be of service.
Right. So that's the trick. And again, I'm not going to push it with you.
No.
But if you have to be something in order to be good enough, see, the answer to that question is nothing. I just am.
That's basically what I couldn't articulate it, but that's essentially what I feel.
I feel that way. I am good enough no matter if I never had another podcast, if I never made another dollar, I'm still good enough. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's a belief that you might have about money or life or people or?
Belief in losing weight.
Yeah, don't go there.
Okay, then.
That's the
that's a tough one. All right.
I mean, I could do it, but it's not going to make any difference at all. And it's not where I want people to go.
Okay.
It's the only pattern that is complex. Like you say, deep-seated beliefs. Beliefs are in your mind. They're not deep-seated. They're just in here. Yeah.
So as far as ask the question again.
Just any belief that you have.
Okay. Any positive or negative? Doesn't matter?
No. It has to be
a negative. Yeah. A negative belief.
That you want to get rid of.
Let's say for that money is limited. Let's throw it out there.
Okay.
Money is limited. I don't particularly believe that I have those limiting beliefs, but I want to kind of go down the road to see if I have them. If I'm intellectually, I might know.
So tell me something in your life. And again, you have to be willing to be really transparent to do that.
Sure. I mean, okay. Exactly.
So is there anything in your life that you would like to up-level that's not singing in the way besides weight? Anything else? And if I have to do weight, I'll do it.
No. I'm trying to think now. My God, I can't believe I don't have any, like something that's like been beating me in the head.
No, anything that you just say, you know, I procrastinate about certain things or, you know, I have a lot of money, but I worry about it sometimes, or it doesn't feel like I'm afraid it's going to be gone or.
I'm sorry. I'm a horrible subject matter for this. I apologize. I've been doing a tremendous amount of work on myself the last few years. So I'm trying to think of something that I really want to focus on. I believe that opportunities don't present themselves as much as I would want them to. Like it frustrates me that I can't get certain guests or certain things won't happen because of whatever reason. And that's okay. Something that it's
so that's a pattern.
Okay.
What might you believe? That would have that.
That I'm not a big enough personality in the space that I'm trying to achieve. So if I'm going after Steven Spielberg,
right.
And Steven Spielberg says no, that means that I'm not Oprah. Cause Oprah, he might say no to Oprah too, but he more likely would say yes to Oprah.
Yeah.
Things like that. So that's something that.
Yeah. It would have to be more core because it may be so that you're not as big as Oprah.
No, I know I'm not.
Let me see if I could do it this way. It's not how I would have liked this to happen.
Sure. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No. But if people want to do the process using I'm not good enough, that will be fine. But I would like to teach a tool, but I don't know that I'm going to have time to help you get past that, even where you have beliefs. Mm-hmm. And it's about giving meaning to events. So we'll go there at the end. So the belief might be, I have to be huge or I have to be as big as Oprah to get those people. Mm-hmm. Is there anything underneath? There's no, I'm not good enough. There's no, anything like
that. Oh, I mean, underneath that would be, I'm not good enough to, it's not that I'm not good enough to sit in the ring with, you know, right. those kind of, I have no issues with that. I feel very, very comfortable doing that because I've spoken to 800, I've interviewed 800 people. So it's like, for me, it's right. not that big of a deal.
Right.
The belief is more of, I think more of a belief that the frustration of getting through the politics or getting through the gatekeepers or those kind of beliefs that I'm just like, that's the things that really kind of frustrate me sometimes that I can't get there. It's impatience, things that aren't happening fast enough, but I think that's everyone suffers for that.
Yeah, but again, is there anything that you believe that would stop you from asking Steven Spielberg?
No, because I've already asked.
Let me ask you that. If I said to you,
yeah.
when you were a kid,
yeah.
did you ever see, does it feel like, don't be a smart rat with me, does
sure.
it feel like you saw Money is Limited?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so do that with me.
Sure.
So where did the belief Money is Limited come from?
From watching my parents.
Say more.
My parents both struggled with money. My parents struggled with money all their lives. So I got to a place where I never even asked for money. I needed to start hustling myself to make my own money. I never once remember ever asking my mom, hey, can I have 20 bucks for tonight? I just went out and garage sale, did whatever. But that was a belief Perfect. That I had. So that's a belief that's inside of me Perfect. To this day.
Perfect.
I have to do it myself.
Oh,
I have to do it myself. I have to go out and hustle the money myself. And the power lives within me to generate the money. You know, for me, it's the one, you know, it's like a beautiful thing that my mother-in-law said to my wife. She's like, all I know is that I know you'll never be hungry because Alex will always Right. figure a way out to make money no matter what. And it's Got just it. The way I am.
Perfect. So here's the deal. One interpretation. So we're going to play a game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not, no more, in, once we're in the process, no stories. I want you to just answer my questions. Okay.
Sure.
And everybody listening, where did your belief, I'm not good enough, come from? Okay. So money is limited. We're going to play a game. The game is called Valid Interpretations. And we're going to make believe that we're watching a video of your childhood and we see your parents struggling with money.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, see, Auntie Shelley, money is limited.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, that's one interpretation, sweetheart. What's another interpretation that you couldn't see at the time that you could see now that would explain your parents' situation other than money is limited?
Well, I mean, from my interpretation is that they weren't educated in the process or they had their own.
Hold it. We're going to one at a time. So one interpretation is they did not have financial education and intelligence. They didn't know how to make money. They didn't know how to invest money. They weren't money savvy.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean money is limited. Is that a valid interpretation?
That is.
Excellent. What's another?
That they didn't have, I guess the same thing. They didn't have the tools, the financial literacy to deal with that. That's the same thing. But right. essentially,
what's another
that money was, you had to work extremely hard for money.
That's another belief. That's another belief. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to stay with money.
Ooh, this is starting. Ooh, I'm starting to get tingly.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So these are the beliefs that come out once we start digging. We're going to stay with money is limited. So one interpretation is money was limited for who?
For my family.
My parents. Yeah. Money was limited to your parents, but if Richard Branson was your dad or Jeff Bezos was your dad, it might have been different. Yes.
Correct.
So that's a valid interpretation. Okay. What did your parents do?
Oh, my mom did multiple jobs. She did a ton of different jobs from collections to working in hospitals. And I mean, that's a ton of
stuff. And your dad?
He's a machinist.
Okay, good. So when you're blue collar or when you don't have, I'm going to give you a good one in a minute. a certain education, maybe money is limited when you do what they do, but it doesn't mean it's limited when we do. Is correct. That a valid, what Steven Spielberg does?
Correct.
That's a valid interpretation.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you another one. This is very important. Before the internet, people worked from 9 to 5. They got paid salaries. Today, I have a product called Natural Confidence, 19 Self-Esteem Beliefs. You can do it. It's relatively inexpensive and it sells while I sleep. Okay. We all know what passive income is, right? So one interpretation is maybe money was limited before the internet. In an industrial society, money was limited. In an information age, companies, people are making millions of dollars where their company's not even showing a profit.
Kids are unboxing toys and making $10 million a year.
Influencers. Influencers who go on these, you know, social media sites and talk about are making millions. So if there are other valid interpretations that would explain your childhood, is what you said, money is limited. Is that the truth or one interpretation?
It's an interpretation.
Great. Now, doesn't it seem like as a child, you saw that?
Yes, I did see that.
Awesome. Did you ever see money is limited?
The actual, no, I didn't see that. I made that in my mind.
Good. So for everybody doing this with me, whatever belief you're working on, I want you to get that it feels like you saw it, but that belief does not have a color, a shape, or a location. And anything you could see has a color, shape, and location.
Correct.
So if money is limited, wasn't out there to be seen, where has it been all these years?
Say that again.
If the belief wasn't out in the world to be seen, mm-hmm. where was it?
It was in my mind.
Beautiful. You, just like me and everybody else, made that up.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Awesome. Do you really get that?
I get it completely.
Okay, good. Now, I'm going to make a distinction. Okay, you're going to love this, Alex. I know you will. Mm-hmm. Consequences versus meaning. So the consequences of your parents not having money was you didn't get new sneakers when you wanted them. You didn't ask for things the way other kids did. There were consequences. You might have felt fear as a kid around money. You know, we're going to have enough. I'm not minimizing the consequences of whatever happened to anybody who's listening. And I'm going to give you some extreme example in a minute. But I'm going to ask you a question and don't answer it just in case you've been down this road before. I want you to just sit with it. What does it really mean that your parents struggled with money? Now, I'm going to ask everybody to do this with me. If Steven Spielberg says no to you, mm-hmm. or let me do something that everybody can relate to. If you're in a room and somebody you know comes in and doesn't say hello, what might you automatically think?
Oh, that they're I did something wrong. It depends on the person. I did something wrong.
Right. That's meaning. So whatever everybody said, they're rude, they didn't see me, they're having a bad day, that's meaning. Whatever you said, where did that meaning come from?
Your mind.
Beautiful. All meaning comes from your mind.
It's a story. It's a story you tell.
It's meaning, whatever it is. Yes. Meaning comes from you. If meaning comes from your mind, do events have inherent meaning?
Nope.
No. So events have no meaning. So Alex said that like, yeah, for most of you, it's what? So my husband died 6 years ago.
Right.
And he was one of the most extraordinary, magnificent human beings I've ever known. on the planet. And I loved him with every ounce of love that mm-hmm. you can love somebody. The fact that he died does not mean anything. Now, it isn't that it doesn't matter or it's no big deal, but another way of saying events have no meaning is we don't know anything for sure because something happens.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
So the fact that he died doesn't mean I'll never be happy again. I'll never love again. I'm going to starve to death because I don't know how to run a business and my business is going to go under. The events don't tell us anything. I had the best year last year and I had no idea what I was going to do because I work with people. I speak in front of groups. I don't run business. Well, somehow I figured it out. And I'm not doing a great job.
You're doing fantastic. You're doing fantastic.
I'm doing okay. I am doing okay. So events have no. So what does it mean that your parents struggled about money?
It doesn't have an inherent meaning at all. It is just what it is.
Perfect. Now, doesn't it seem like the events made you feel like money is limited?
Yes.
Awesome. Can events that have no meaning make you feel anything?
No.
Good. So again, I'm working with somebody who's really committed to doing his work.
I'm trying.
He's trained. So for those of you who are not having as easy a time as Alex is, breathe. It's perfect.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If you're walking down the street and a man walks past you and it has no meaning, what are you going to feel?
Arguably nothing. Because we pass people by the street all the time.
And if it has no meaning, you're not going to feel anything. But if you give it the meaning he's dangerous, what are you going to feel?
Fear.
If you give it the meaning he'll protect me, what are you going to feel?
Protected.
You'll feel safe. So events that have no meaning can't make you feel anything.
That's a powerful statement.
Yeah.
Very powerful statement.
And I'm going to show you what I promised at the end, how to use this to get rid of negative emotions in the moment, even if they're coming from beliefs, which meaning does come from mostly from beliefs. So what made you feel like money was limited?
Seeing struggle.
But seeing struggle had no meaning.
Had no meaning inherently, but in my mind, there's emotion attached to seeing someone you love.
No. There's no emotion attached. Blah, 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 blah. Emotion comes from meaning. Emotions are feelings. They come from meaning. So what made you feel like money was limited? If the events have no meaning, what did you, and you said it, but I want to clean it up a little. So what produces the feeling?
Seeing my parents struggle.
But what does it mean that your parents struggled?
Pain.
No, what does it mean?
It inherently means nothing.
Right. So you keep saying inherently, we're not qualifying it. It just doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
Good. Can events that have no meaning make you feel anything?
No.
So what made you feel like money is limited?
Nothing other than whatever I made up the story in my mind.
But that's not nothing. That's something. So it's the meaning you give the events that caused your feelings, not the events. Watch this.
Yeah.
Everybody close your eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Close your eyes, Alex, and imagine Auntie Shelley is there. And I say, sweetheart, Jeff Bezos lives next door. You know, your parents are not money. They don't have money literacy. They're not, you know, we don't have an internet yet. When you grow up, the world is going to be different. Money will be abundant. You can create it while you sleep. And if you had said, oh, I see, Auntie Shelley, my parents struggle with money, but there's lots of people that don't, and I certainly don't have to. And as you're giving the same events that meaning, do you still have the feeling money is limited?
No.
And if you didn't, then would you today?
No.
Awesome. Okay. Open your eyes. Take a deep breath. Say money is limited.
Money is limited. I feel like cracking up as I say it.
Yes. And that's what everybody, most people say. It feels silly now.
It feels absolutely silly. It's fascinating. It's fascinating going through this process with you, Shelley, because it's that belief is a belief that I've washed away a while ago. But the belief that those events when I was younger, that I had to work hard for my money.
So let me just do that with you. So one interpretation is you have to work hard for your money. What's another interpretation that would explain your parents, how they work?
Oh, the not having the literacy and they don't have the
literacy
education.
They don't have the internet. They don't have the education.
Yeah, it was a different world, right?
Different world. So again, if there are other ways to interpret the events is what you said, you have to work hard for money. Is that the truth or one interpretation?
Oh, it was just one interpretation.
Doesn't
no question.
It seem like you saw that?
I'm sorry?
Doesn't it seem like you saw that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you mm-hmm. ever see you have to work hard for money?
Nope.
No. And all you saw was what? What did you see?
I just, what do you mean? Like, I just saw my parents struggling.
Exactly. But and working hard.
And working hard.
By the way, another interpretation is, and I always say this, this is a very common belief, by the way. I always say they work very hard, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Did they have money? No. So another interpretation is working hard is not the way to get money.
But see, my belief became different because I was blessed enough to have a parents that I could live with. So when I made money, I didn't have overhead. So in my belief system was like, when I work hard, I make money. And that was a belief that I kept going for a long time.
But here's the thing. What does it mean that your parents worked hard?
It means it doesn't mean anything.
It has no money. It has no meaning. So again, if money, you have to work hard for money, wasn't out in the world to be seen, where was it?
It was in my mind.
Good. And what does it mean that you, and if you had given the same events different meaning, if you had said, when I grow up, I'm going to learn how to make money in my sleep, you know, would you have ever have had that feeling that money is hard to get? That you have to work hard to make money.
No.
Good. So take a deep breath. Say you have to work hard to make money.
I have to work hard to make money. It's the same thing. It feels silly.
Yeah.
It feels foolish.
Now, our beliefs determine our behavior, our reality, our mm-hmm. emotions, mm-hmm. but they also determine the meaning we give events. So let's assume Steven Spielberg says no, and you give it the meaning, well, I'm not big enough. That's why. Then you may not ask him again. But if you say, you know, the fact that he said no could mean I'm not big enough, could mean a thousand things.
He's busy. He'd love to, but, you know, he's tired.
He's tired. He's not doing podcasts right now. But the fact that he said no has no inherent meaning. Mm-hmm. Even if you think you know why you do something, meaning is still made up. I could get you to see that it's not true. Whatever you think, why you do things, that's why is not a powerful question. What is a much more powerful question?
Oh, it was the other day. I had an experience where something happened through a text, which a text or emails are always really, you can interpret them a thousand different ways.
Right.
I created a story in my head. I was preparing for battle for the situation. And when I got that person on the phone, they're like, hey, what's up? And it was completely made up in my head. And I was like, wow, I completely built this up. So like defenses were up, but luckily it was just nothing. And
right,
what I gave meaning, the other person gave, oh, okay, no big deal.
Right. Now, I'll tell you something that happened to me with a podcast, and I'm going to show you how to use this. Now, when you get rid of beliefs, life changes effortlessly. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to prep. This, what I'm teaching you, is a practice. This is different. So do you know who Mark Hyman is?
The name sounds familiar. Okay.
So Mark Hyman is a functional medicine doctor. He's written 14 best-selling books. And I think at one time he was Hillary Clinton's doctor. He is my client and he is a dear friend. So he said, I'm going to have you on my podcast one day. Now he has 25 million downloads. I think he's in the top 27 of all podcasts, not in his field. So we do this podcast and I'm not supposed to tell anybody who my clients are. And with 25 million downloads, he starts talking about his work with me and how it's impacted his life. And he starts telling stories. And I'm like sitting there going, oh my God, this is, I never expected this in a million years. So we get off, was an amazing podcast. Mm-hmm. And I go into this course where we teach what we call the occurring, this process that I'm teaching you. And I just about to go into the course and I get a text from him. He was away, so his people weren't doing it. And he thinks he forgot to press a certain button and we may have lost it. And I watched myself start to go bloop. And I said, wait a minute, what happened? So write this down. What happened? Mark said he may have not gotten the podcast. What meaning am I giving the events? I'm never going to do it as good. We're not going to do it again. I'm not going to be on his podcast. He's never going to tell those same stories. Okay. All you have to do is come up with one meaning. What does it mean? What do we know for sure? Because that happened.
It's not there anymore.
No. What meaning do the events have?
None.
We don't know anything for sure because either he lost it or he said he lost it. It doesn't mean anything, right? We don't know. It could be better next time. We don't know. So I breathed and I said, okay. And I get into my course and we're just about to end the course. And I get a text and he says, I got it.
You see, it's the same thing.
I saved myself an hour of angst and upset and aggravation.
Yeah.
That was powerful.
Yes.
And it's, things happen all the time and you just, the moment you have a negative emotion, and when people say, well, is there really negative emotions? Yes, there are emotions you don't like. If I don't want to walk around feeling sad, it doesn't mean I don't let myself. I grieved when my husband died, but I don't want to stay sad. I don't want to stay angry. I don't want to stay disappointed. It doesn't feel good. Who wants to do that? Anytime you have a negative emotion, stop and ask yourself, what just happened? I just locked my fob to my car in the trunk of my car. And of course, my battery on my phone was red because I had just hiked and talked to my girlfriend the whole time. So, and I go, oh my God. And then I called AAA. I called my neighbor. She came. And what I noticed was AAA came. They couldn't get into the car. My neighbor drove me home. He ended up walking on the roof and jumping onto my terrace. And never once did I give it meaning. It's just like, oh, this is happening. And I never got upset. I never got frustrated. It just, oh, this is happening. And basically for me, there's two things. One is I'm not in Afghanistan or I'm not in the Ukraine.
Right.
That book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't.
So, you're right.
But it's harder to just go, well, and rationalize it. But if you get that no matter what happens, my client, say one last story. My client's daughter was 11 years old and she had terrible stomach pains. And she took her to the emergency room and she started to get panicky. But she was in my occurring course and she said, wait a minute, what meaning am I giving it? Something terrible is wrong with my daughter. What else could it mean? She's got gas. What does it mean that we're in the emergency room? Nothing. 4 hours later, doctor comes in, says she's fine, take her home. And her child looked at her and said, Mommy, thank you for not being nervous because if you were scared, I would have been scared. So she not only saved herself the fear and angst, but she made her daughter feel comfortable.
I wanted to ask you this. When there's an event, your kids don't do something or something that you wanted to happen doesn't happen.
Yep.
And you get angry.
Yeah.
Isn't that a direct correlation with you trying to control a situation that's uncontrollable?
Maybe, but I'm going to let you look at it differently. Underlying anger is always powerlessness.
Right. Yeah.
If you could do something about it, you would, but we get angry because we feel powerless.
Right. And it could be like, I saw someone spill milk. I'm like, I'm angry because now I've got to go clean it up and I feel powerless that I have to go clean it up.
That's the meaning. You feel powerless that you could. Yeah. That's the meaning.
Sure.
So if you get rid of beliefs, you won't give it that meaning. But when you do, you could say, what does it mean that she spilled the milk? Right? It has no inherent meaning.
None.
Now, what can I do? So I gave it the meaning. So is it true that I have to clean it up? That's not inherent in the events. You could say, honey, here's a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
Or let me show you how to do it. So next time you can clean, you know, clean it. My father, that was such a thing with my father. He would slam the table and there's a Yiddish word. It's the only schluch, and it means slob. And he'd go schluch, you know, and I had beliefs from that, you know. Yeah.
Anyway. It's really, it's extremely powerful. I mean, this conversation has been extremely powerful. I hope it does help other people listening. There is something that we have as human beings, which is a negative bias in our thoughts, generally speaking, from evolution. This is, again, a belief that I have and an understanding that I've understood over time, is that when your mind thinks about things, it generally goes to the negative because evolutionarily speaking, it wants to try to keep you safe from the tiger around the corner. Mm-hmm. So you will build up those stories, the bad stories, the things like, oh my God. It's never like that person didn't say goodbye, didn't say hi to me. Like, they must be in a great mood. They're just so happy that they just didn't want to, they love me so much, they'll talk to me later. That's never a thought pattern. It's always, what did I do wrong? How did I do? So there's a negative bias. Is there a way that we can break, if we start going down that road, the negative road in thought? Well,
there's two things. So I'm very, very, very much a nurture girl rather than a nature girl. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when people say things to me, Alex, I have a bias. Very, very, very rarely, as we all say, nobody's a perfect parent.
No.
I'm like, who better than me? And I was not perfect because I have beliefs from my childhood that made me say and do things that I knew I shouldn't say and do. Given that, I think it's our negative beliefs that have us see things like that rather than, see, there is something called conditioning for another show. Your emotions get conditioned like Pavlov's dog. If every time you make a mistake, you get slapped, you will start having a fear associated with making a mistake. And we have a process that deconditions that in a nanosecond. It's very powerful. So I'm not a subscriber, if you will, of this idea of blah, 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 you know, brain and this and anima tigers and whatever. Maybe. But here's what I know for sure. Our beliefs determine our behavior. The meaning we give events determines our emotions. If you believe dogs are dangerous and a dog comes into the room, you'll give it the meaning that dog's going to bite me and you'll feel fear. So in answer to your question, the occurring is the most powerful tool. My husband did a TEDx talk called How to Stop Suffering. It's wonderful. If you start to give negative meaning to something, or if you start to feel, oh, they didn't say hello to me. Perfect, perfect analogy. They didn't say hello to me. And you start to, and you go, wait a minute. What meaning did I give it? They don't like me, or I'm too good for them. They're too good for me, or they think whatever. What else could it mean? Well, it could mean they're preoccupied. It could mean they think I don't like them. But what does it mean that they didn't say hello to you? What's the inherent meaning in the events?
Nothing.
It has no meaning. You don't know anything for sure because they didn't say hello.
So I understand. So the thing I said in regards to the negative bias, it's all based around beliefs regardless. Because if you don't have, though, if you take beliefs out of it, then there's no negative or positive. It is what it is.
I won't say who. I was in Hawaii. So my daughter lives in Hawaii. I spend a lot of time there. So I was just in Hawaii and I met a new friend of hers, and he's very soft-spoken. And I'm thinking, interesting, very soft-spoken. So that night I'm talking to her and she says to me, oh yeah, I didn't say anything. And we were talking about something and she said, yeah, he had very angry parents. And I went, oh, I'll never be like them. And the next thing out of her mouth was, and he said, I will never be like my parents. So how he is, his beliefs that the way his parents were was bad and wrong, and he's not going to be that way, had him be soft-spoken.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
So everything we do is based on beliefs formed in childhood. And I believe that it is not good to be like my parents. I'm not going to be that way. And he's not. But what if you look at our lives, they're usually reaction, and either reaction or as opposed to responsive. So we parent the way our parents parented or not that way. Strict or permissive. As opposed to the way I say it is, what would serve God and the universe right now, right? To really look at in this moment, what happened? What meaning am I giving it? As opposed to, you know, oh, you didn't say hello to me, or oh, you think you're too good to be on my show, or oh God, I'm not big enough, or whatever it is. Just get. Go ahead.
So no, and I'll bring up something that's current in the news today, or in the news last week or so, was the Will Smith slap, which was such a massive thing. I mean, look, at the end of the day, people are dying in the Ukraine, so it's not a big deal. But to see what he did on a world stage, so out of control, you have to think about, like, that reaction was absolutely not about that joke. It was about that Chris Rock's joke. It had some pain, some stuff that he has not worked out. And that might have been the thing that just popped.
So here's the thing. He didn't protect his mother when he was a kid. So he's going to now protect his wife. But here's the thing that's bigger than, I love the example. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And thank you for doing the process. That was great. If you read everything about it, what you're going to start seeing is one of the three hosts, I don't remember which one, said a Black man standing up for his wife. That's awesome.
That was not one of the hosts. It was an actress who was in a movie with Jada Pinkett Smith. I forgot her name off the top of my head. But yeah, I saw that exact quote.
So another one said, oh, he's violent and horrible and terrible. Mm-hmm. So everybody gives it different meaning. And absolutely, the meaning they give it determines how they feel about what happened.
And they're coming from their own experience. So the one that's like, oh, a Black man protecting his wife, isn't that beautiful? That means that she wanted someone like that at one point in her life.
Whatever, but yes. So it comes, the meaning comes from beliefs, but the meaning is what causes the emotion. And if I went to Will Smith and said, why did you do that? He would say, well, I asked him to stop before and he didn't. And I'd say, that's not true. Here's why. And he'd say, you know, when you were a kid, you didn't protect your mother. He'd go, oh, that makes sense. And then somebody else would walk over to him and say, no, I have a degree in reactionary therapy, and you got a button put up, and he'd say, oh, maybe that's true. Meaning is made up. All that happened was he did it. Now, what's useful is to ask, and again, with parenting, remember, I could talk to you for a long time about this. Yeah. But don't ask why, ask what. What is it about your vegetables that you don't like? What is it that's, what about not brushing your teeth do you not like? Get to the source. Don't force. Get to the source. What is it? Not why don't you? They don't know why. What would it take for you to want to do your homework? What is it about homework you hate? What is it about taking a bath? What is it about going to bed? So get to the source of what it is so that you can do something about it as opposed to, yeah.
And it's very interesting to see that Will Smith is a perfect example because it's an event that everybody pretty much on the planet has seen at this point in the game, and everyone has a different opinion on it. And yeah. Everyone has a positive or negative connotation to it. Like some people feel empathy towards Chris, other people empathy towards Will. Some have empathy towards both. Some are angry towards Chris for what he said. Other people are angry. It all is depending on where they're coming from, their own beliefs, and what they and what their experiences of life is. So it's a really fascinating reaction to such a, it is such a divisive event that it's split down the middle. There's no good, bad. It's completely perspective. It's completely the meaning that is thrown on it from the person's point of view.
Totally. You know, my daughter lives on the north shore of Oahu and everybody's like surfing and happy and skydiving and life is good. And this vaccine comes along, which became political, and it literally ripped relationships apart. My daughter said, Mom, I got to get off the island. You got to come take care of Loki. I can't have another vaccine conversation. So again, it's just points of view, the meaning you give the events, as opposed to, I'm going to have a vaccine. You don't want one, don't have one, or but just don't come near me or whatever. But to be able to look at people's perspective and honor it and then choose to be with them or not be with them, but to not be angry and judgmental. And, you know, I used to scream at the TV when a certain politician would come on. And my husband would say, honey, if you had his childhood, you'd have his beliefs and you'd be saying the same thing he is.
And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That's why I try to look more empathetically towards people when they are acting in certain ways, because you're like, they're in pain. They're in pain. And what caused that for them? What is it in their past that is a lot is making them feel that they need to do what they're doing now? It's
so beautiful.
It's not easy. It's taken me a while to get here, and it's not always perfect, but you try at least to have an empathy.
And if you try doing the meaning thing, that will help you.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it gets rid of the emotion.
Yeah. It's the emotion that you apply to it because it's your perspective.
The emotion. Yeah.
It's so like perfect example. Someone will look at a homeless person begging on the side of the road, and one person is like, get a job. And the other person is like, how can I help?
Totally.
And it's absolute perception, perception of the person who is looking at the person is homeless. That's the event.
Right.
It is what it is. But how you approach it is completely different based on where you come from and your history and the baggage that you're carrying along and your beliefs. You believe that if you should get a job. I got a job. Why can't you get a job?
That's right.
Not thinking about maybe they went through some stuff that you didn't go through. And if you went through those things, maybe you'd be the exact same place that they are.
Absolutely.
But there's different thought patterns. So Shelly, I know I could talk to you for another 3 or 4 hours comfortably, comfortably. Totally. And you could fix my entire life. Obviously, I believe that completely, 110%. But I'm going to ask you two questions I always ask all my guests.
Oh, okay.
What is your mission in this life?
To help people be free to live authentic, joyful lives.
Wonderful. It's a wonderful
and
answer.
To transform the way people parent.
Wonderful. And what is the ultimate purpose of life?
For me to love and be loved. Not very profound.
Extremely profound. Extremely profound. And where can people find out more about you and the work you do?
Okay, so you should all go to recreateyourlife.com. Oh, sorry, no. We have a podcast link, and it came out of the blue. eliminate beliefs. Oh God, wait a minute.
I'll put it in the show notes. How about
eliminate
that?
A belief. Eliminatebeliefs.com.
If they look up your name, they could probably find you on Google.
Yes, recreateyourlife.com you could go to. Okay. But we'll put a different link in the show notes. I think it's eliminatebeliefs.com. That's our podcast link, so we can kind of track it. But yeah, either one.
Shelly, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure and honor talking to you. And thank you for the hard work you've been doing all these years and helping people along on their path in life. So I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I appreciate you. You are an outstanding, outstanding interviewer. And I loved being with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I know so many of us hold on to these limiting beliefs about ourselves and what we can and cannot do. And I hope that this episode has helped you break through some of those limiting beliefs. I want to thank Shelly so much for coming on the show and helping us through that. If you want to get links to anything we spoke about in this episode, head over to the show notes at nextlevelsoul.com/064. And if you've only been listening to this over podcast and you want to watch these amazing conversations, please subscribe to our YouTube channel at nextlevelsoul.com/YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, trust the journey. It is here to teach you. I'll talk to you soon.